So I want to look at the season to be merry. Woo! I want to talk about the season to be joyful. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a well-known story because I like to read scripture. You know, I like to read it every day if possible. And not religiously, just because it's good for me. And as much as I like to eat every day, I like to read scripture every day. And the story is a good story. Verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem now and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." That's an amazing story, isn't it? I mean, it's an incredible story. I don't know about you, but I've often longed for one of those kind of epiphany kind of moments when the glory of the Lord is just so obvious to everybody in the room, you know, that you can see it and you can smell it, you can touch it, you know. And it happened to them on the side of a hill, a dark hill in Israel, and they were terrified. The truth is, that's what would happen, isn't it? We'd all be terrified if it happened to us. Yeah, they were terrified. But the angel came and brought wonderful news, good news, joyful news for all the people. All the people. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, he says. And this is, you'll know this is true by the fact that you're going to Bethlehem now and you'll see that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The Saviour's been born. Come on. It's time to rejoice. This is the Saviour. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ, the anointed one, the one that they've been longing for, the one that they've been prophesied for hundreds of years that he would come and change everything. He would bring in the kingdom. This is good news. Hooray. There was a lot of rejoicing. But it's fantastic news. Tom Wright says, you know, too many people, when they think about this story, they just get hooked up on the manger. They get lost in the manger and the baby lying, born in the stable. He says it's a bit like when you have a dog and you say, "Hey, look, Frodo." I've got a stupid dog called Frodo. "Look, Frodo," I say, and I'm trying to point out to him something interesting he might want to chase, like a squirrel or a cat. And he just looks at your finger. That's what dogs do. Well, yeah, okay. Not just the dog, I should say then. "Look, Frodo." There's something for you to chase. It says, the trouble is, most Christians look at most of the people just get stuck at the stable. They get stuck at the baby in swaddling clothes and think, "Oh, isn't that lovely?" And actually, but that was just a sign. The baby was just a sign. Like the pointing of the finger. It's just a sign. It's pointing at something. What it was pointing at was this wonderful truth that today, God has fulfilled the promises of hundreds of years to his people. Peace on earth, where every beauty queen pageant wants. Apparently, allegedly. Peace on earth. And you'll know this is true, goodwill toward men. You'll know all of this is true because you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the proof that all the things they said were true. Amazing. I love that. It's like Abraham's promise, isn't it? You're going to have children, Abraham. That's the proof that one day all the people in the world are going to be blessed through you. All families, all nations are going to be blessed through you. That's what they came to announce. Wonderful, wonderful news. Now, you know, at the time, actually, there was a well-known story at the time. Everybody knew the story of how peace came to the world. Because peace was brought to the world by the Romans, wasn't it? I'm glad that you said that, Andy, because if you hadn't said that, I was about to say, what have the Romans ever done for us? Aqueducts? Oh, yeah. Apart from the aqueducts. Roads? Yeah, okay. Roads. Sorry? Baths? Yeah, baths. Good, I like that, yeah. Aqueducts? Yeah, I said the aqueducts. Central heating? Yep. Roads? Yep. Sanitation? Mosaic? Yeah, artwork. Yeah, apart from that, and world peace, what have the Romans ever done for us? Nothing. Oh. Hate the Romans. No, but I'll get down. I'll spend all my time quoting that film. Got that picture of that guy hanging upside down now saying, beautiful race, the Romans. They all knew the story because Julius Caesar was proclaimed a god. And before he died, he adopted a son called Augustus. Now, that didn't mean he just welcomed him into his house. That means he made him his heir. He inherited everything that was Julius Caesar's. He was his inheritor. So he became emperor. He became the leader of that empire. He had all the wealth and all the titles and everything that goes with it. So we're the adopted sons of Christ, of God. That's us. We get all of that wealth. This is pretty good. But he was the son of a god. And he brought peace to the whole world. Yes, he brought it by a bit of political intrigue. Things hidden away in dark corners, secret meetings, liaisons, deals done. Yes, he brought it with legions of soldiers, well-equipped, well-trained, disciplined soldiers who just brought it and enforced peace. It was an enforced peace. It wasn't a real peace, as the Monty Python's film, you know, portrays quite well. There was a lot of unrest beneath the veneer of peace that it brought, but there was no fighting. It was fantastic. They brought peace to a whole swathe of people could go about their business. They were paying a lot of taxes. They were oppressed quite a lot, but there was a lot of peace at one level. The Pax Romana. That was the story. That everyone knew that story. That's how peace came to the world. But Luke, he subverts that completely. That's not the real story. The real story is the Son of God has come. The Son of God has come to bring peace to the world. Not just the lack of fighting, but a shalom, a deep wholeness, a well-being, a peace in every realm of our hearts and minds and bodies and lives. To every sphere of society, a peace that would one day fill the entire earth, but came just with a baby to start with. That's why we celebrate Advent, the coming of the kingdom. This is the breaking in of the kingdom of God, the breaking in of the kingdom of peace that Isaiah prophesied. This peace came with the innocence. It came in the form of a baby, for goodness sake. How innocent, how weak at one level was it? No ounce of manipulation, unless that's in the look of the baby's eyes, because they can manipulate you quite a lot with just one look, can't they? That one over there can. But it came just innocently, and that peace was one that was freely chosen. It needed to be freely given, freely accepted, freely embraced. And it was spread not by an army, but by disciples who went around loving people, laying down their lives. Not domineering, not enforcing this peace, but offering it freely, praying for it, living it, bringing it, wholeness to every area of their lives. Fantastic. What a great subversion of the popular kind of story or narrative of the day. Fantastic. This Advent, this coming of the King. I love it. God always subverting things, just like the story of Genesis subverts the popular myths of creation at the time, reclaiming something beautiful about mankind and about God. So this story does too. And I tried to say it very clumsily last week that how we think about these stories is really powerful. It changes the way we live. It changes everything about what we do next when we understand the story. We live well within it. That's not my dog. It's a bit like my dog. He looks just as stupid. Got some dog lovers here, obviously. But, you know, one thing is that, you know, joy is a choice. He came to bring, he had good news, great joy for all the people. But joy is something that has to be embraced. It's a choice. It's something that we make decisions which affect our joy. Every one of us. We make stupid decisions. Actually, we rob ourselves of joy. We make selfish decisions. We rob ourselves of joy. We make good decisions. Actually, joy is built up in us. It's like making a savings deposit. Good decisions about like making savings deposits. Joy is building up. And it was Henri Nouwen who said, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. That's not to say joy doesn't come supernaturally and it doesn't come as a gift of God, because it does. I know, I've experienced that. You know, before I knew Jesus, before he really understood much at all about who he was and what he came to do, I prayed to him and said, if you're there, please come into my life. And the most wonderful thing happened. First of all, I felt stupid praying to the ceiling. I thought, what am I doing talking to the ceiling? But the next morning, there was an inexpressible joy that filled me. An inexpressible joy. 1 Peter 1:8 says this. I'm going to read it. Though now you do not see him, that's Jesus, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy came to me just with that fumbled prayer. Joy came to me. And I kind of knew that God was real after that. I went from being an atheist or an agnostic, I don't know what, probably an agnostic in that case, to being a believer. Joy came to me. Joy comes to us. We'll look at that in a minute. Joy comes through loving. John 15. Joy comes through loving. 9 to 12. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, love and joy are inextricably bound. We can't get... we love one another, we're going to get an increase of joy. Joy comes from community. I love being a part of this church. This church was a fantastic family to grow up in. I look around this room and I have relationships that go back decades. And actually, I rejoice in that. There's a lot of joy that comes from community, from family. And lastly, from praying, John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. There are loads of other things we could do, good decisions we could make too, but these are just three I want to quickly look at. Three things we can do to choose joy, to embrace this season of Advent when we're celebrating God's goodness. You see, these shepherds, they had that experience with the glory and the angels and the terror. And then the wandering kind of, let's go and see if this has happened, what these angels have said. Let's go and have a look for it, what the Lord has told us. And they go down and they find it. And they're filled with joy. They're filled with joy. Now, just put yourself in their place just for a moment. Their lives are pretty tough. Sleeping rough out on the hills. Looking after a lot of smelly sheep. Not a lot of fun. Most of our jobs are probably a bit easier, a bit more fun than that. Wind, sun, hail, whatever, they'll be out there. The thing is, with this news, had anything really changed for them? Had anything really changed? Measurably? Huh? Not substantially. They had the same problems. If they were ill, they went back ill. You know, if they had a headache, they went back with a headache. If they had money problems, they went back with money problems. In fact, they were slightly worse because they'd just given away a sheep. So I'm led to believe. You know, if they had relational problems, tensions at home with the marriage or with their kids, or problems, you know, around with their paymaster or whatever, actually, they still had all that stuff going on. Nothing had actually changed. And yet they were filled with joy. Joy comes through believing. Now, one of the things we can do to really embrace joy is to believe and actually think about and meditate upon this story that they were told. A saviour has been born. A saviour has come. Peace is coming to the whole world. When we know that, when it becomes deeply embedded in our hearts, when we meditate on it, it fills us with joy. Yes, it fills us with joy. It fills me with joy anyway. I'm struggling to get agreement from some of you, but you know. God's favour is toward us, his goodwill toward men. That should fill us with joy. Thank you. There's someone else who knows the favour of God rests on them. When you know the favour of God rests on you, there's joy that comes. God is with you. Wow! I quite like it when John's with me. I get a lot of courage when John says, hey, I really appreciate you. Or when I have a friend or now says, you know, I'm standing with you, I'm 100% behind. I get a lot of joy with that. But I'm sorry, you guys are nothing, diddly squat really, compared to Jesus saying that to me. When God says it, wow, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God is saying that to you today, every single one of us, not just to us as a group of people, not just to us as a church worldwide, but to you and me individually. He says, I am for you. Just give the person next to you a nudge just to make sure they're awake and say, yeah, do you know, God is for you. You see, he didn't come just to bring a little bit of happiness, not just a little bit of a warm feeling, a glow, but intoxicating joy. It makes me laugh, you know, that one of the first miracles he did was turning the water into wine. Basically, that was a humdinger of a party. They'd already ran out of wine. He produced 150 gallons more wine so they'd get completely drunk. Intoxicating, you know, drunkenness. And you think, well, come on, that's only because his mother twisted his arm, he had to. But then you go forward until Pentecost, and what happens? It's the same thing, except this time there's no liquid. It's an intoxicating joy. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, they stagger out of the prayer meeting, like you do in Marlow. You stagger out and say, ha, praise God! It's a beautiful day! And they say, you're drunk! That's what they said, isn't it? Yeah, that's what they said. You're drunk! And Peter had to stand up and say, these men aren't drunk as you guys think. We're not honest. Maybe slurring our words a bit. We may be staggering a bit. We may be over euphoric. But actually, this is what Joel promised. This is an outpouring of God's Spirit. This is what happens when God's kingdom comes. Joy is released. Which is why, you know, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. The second one, love first, joy second. Joy, joy, joy. Deep down in my soul. Joy, 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 making me whole. Come on. This is fantastic news. We have the best news. You know, at the end of the day, we have world peace. We get to proclaim, actually, don't worry, we've got it, it's coming. Of the increase of his government and in peace, there will be no end. To us a son is born, to us a child is given, yeah? The government will be upon his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Isaiah 9:7. Fantastic news. Do you live within that? Live with it. When you see ISIS out there on the news, there's so much news we could get depressed about. We see ISIS, we see the stock market crash, we worry about our pensions, or we see finance, you know, institutions going to the wall, or we see companies laying people off, or we see people caught up with sexual sins, and you know, there's just so much stuff we could get worn out by. The news is full of it. We need to be saying to ourselves, but despite this news that they keep telling me about, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen? Amen. Come on! It's true. It's measurable. You can measure it. There are 2 billion people that name the name of Jesus today. And the more of us there are, the more peace there will be. It's growing. It's growing. There's going to come a time when there is no more war. There is no more. Oh, I've just got to go. Sorry. I get carried away with it. It's just fantastic. I'm going to have to speed up a bit. The bottom line is we're loved. which is pretty fantastic. And love wins, which is wonderful news. Please, guys, whatever you do, whatever you read, whatever you read in the news or listen to, you know, or just marinate in this. This story, this is a wonderful story to really marinate in, to dwell upon. Think about it a lot, read about it a lot, pray about it a lot, talk about it a lot, gossip about it a lot, be full of it and let it leak out to your friends and to your neighbours and to your colleagues. Good news, you guys are fantastic. I love you guys. You guys are brilliant people. You're amazing people. We're going to rock this town. I believe what John said. We're going to rock this town. Do we believe that? I believe it. Call me mad. I don't care. The kingdom is coming. It always it has been, and it is. I'm just grateful that we're a part of that. Come on. You know, you guys are also loving. You guys are loving. But the thing is, when God came, he didn't wave a magic wand and put it all right, did he? He's patient. This God was patient. He came with his baby. He made a slower start to the invasion of heaven, could you, really? You couldn't have sent a smaller army than an embryo, a couple of cells. Could you have sent a smaller army than that when heaven, you chose to invade earth? Not really. God is patient. You know, he doesn't want to wave a magic wand and make it all better straight away. Actually, he wants us to make it better with him. He's looking for grown-up sons and daughters. That's why this time is our training for reigning. This time is about us growing up, maturing to become sons and daughters who learn to rule and reign with him. So we demonstrate practical love, like serving hot chocolate to Santa's on the street, Santa's fun run, sorry. And we do things like love Marlowe. We have Why coming next week. I love the church when it does this kind of stuff. I absolutely love it. We're doing what Jesus asked us to do. And he gets a lot of glory from that. A lot of glory from that. John 15, you know, there's two things our lives are supposed to be full of. The fruitfulness that God is looking for. Because, you know, John 15 starts with, I am the vine, you are the branches. The fruitfulness that God is looking for, that Jesus mentions again and again in that chapter, are one, love one another. Two, ask the Father and he'll give you whatever you like. The two things that mark the fruitfulness of the average Christian. Love the people that you meet. Be kind, be patient, be generous. Do good things, smile, hug. We can all do that. It doesn't cost much. And then ask the Father for stuff. And do you know what? He'll do it for you. Come on, this is glorious. Absolutely glorious. Because, you know, that verse in John 16, verse 24, it says, ask the Father and he will give you what you want and your joy will be full. He wants us all to know, actually, he wants us all to know the truth of what the angels promised the shepherds, that God's favor is on us, that his goodwill towards us. He wants every single person in this room to know that, to know it, not just in theory, not just because a preacher said it, not just because it's written in the Bible, which is the book of truth. No, actually, experientially. Through your relationship with him, your relationship with your dad, he wants you to know that he hears your prayers and he answers them. Come on. There's a lot of joy that comes from that, guys. Overflowing joy. You know, it says in Psalm 4, he's given me more joy than when their wine vats overflow and their harvest is bursting the barns. You know, he gives me much more joy than that. I've always been full of joy. I got in trouble at school for that. God gives us joy, and he wants to increase that joy today. And he wants every one of you, every one of us to know that actually we're favored sons, favored. You know, I had an amazing miracle that happened. This is in the picture of Nepal. You see them all queuing up there with their gas bottles trying to get fuel because there's a blockade at the moment from India. They can't get any fuel. And a week before I went to Nepal in October, my friends in Nepal said, don't come. You can't come. Because if you come, even if the planes are flying, because we're not sure if they will be, because there's no fuel in Kathmandu, even if you get into Kathmandu, they said, we can't take you anywhere. You'd have to walk wherever you go. And I only had 2 weeks. And whilst I like walking, you can't actually get very far in 2 weeks. I could walk out to the training centre and walk back, and that's about it. You can't get anywhere. And also, none of the B&Bs and none of the restaurants are open because they've got no fuel. But they can't feed you. So you've got to cancel your trip. Up to that point, I could have been quietly ignoring what was going on. You know, I was busy here. At that point, I thought, I've got to do something. I better pray. So I prayed to my father. I said, look, God, please, we want to bless Nepal. I'm taking my friend who wants to rebuild, who wants to help the churches rebuild homes and churches. Please let us in. And just a simple little prayer. And I know I forgot about it, but that day the blockade lifted. Because our Father loves us to know that he hears our prayers. I'm not claiming complete and utter, you know, I'm the only one that prayed. That, but, you know, that is the kind of God we worship. That's the kind of God who loves us. And that blockade stayed open for the whole 2 weeks I was there and closed the day before I left. That is amazing. You can call that coincidence, you see. I don't look at that. I see that as my Father giving me what I asked for. And we were able to go in. I took my friend and he's now sending money out and going to help rebuild parts of that country which has been ravaged by earthquakes. Fantastic. Fantastic. And I could go on. I have had time. I had lots of stories to tell, guys. But you know, just joy. Advent is a season to be joyful. But let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace it through believing the good news about Jesus. And if you haven't ever believed that, if you haven't ever embraced that good news about Jesus, don't waste another day. Do not waste another moment. I tell you, there is more joy in believing than... It just doesn't compare. My life is abundantly more joyful since I started to believe in Christ. If you have not really given your heart to him fully, give it to him today. Don't waste another day because joy is the joy that it gives is amazing. Let's love. Let's love. Let's love this Christmas. Let's love our neighbours this Christmas. Let's love our friends. Let's go to the Wycombe. Let's love our town. Let's love everyone we meet this Christmas. Let's love people during this Advent. Let's be surprising. Let's surprise people with our kindness this year. We can embrace Advent by surprising people with acts of kindness, just like our God. And little by little, the kingdom will come and it will grow. And joy will come and grow in us too. And then lastly, let's be praying. Let's be praying to our Father, guys, because he is longing to bring joy, to bring joy. And I don't know your name. What's your name? Asher. Hope. Does that mean hope, Asher? Maybe. I think it means hope in Hindi or Nepali. But Asher, Father wants you to know that. And I don't know, I've never met you before, but God wants you to know that he hears your prayers. He hears your prayers for your boy there. He hears your prayers for the things that you care about. Actually, he's taking you on a journey into deeper joy in knowing that. Not as an intellectual thing, but really knowing that he hears your prayers. He's actually going to start answering the prayers of your heart, prayers you haven't actually spoken out loud, just to get your attention. I love it when he does that. There's joy coming to you, Asher. Joy. Embrace joy today. Embrace joy. But God is wanting to it. God is wanting us all to embrace that this morning. And this afternoon. I'm so churchified. I'm terrible. we want to end this time with ministry, don't we, John? And to be praying, all of us, because we're all ministers, we're all priests. I don't want to be up here to hogging the microphone. Actually, we want to all be ministering joy to one another and praying, and praying with one another and for one another. And let's see our Father answer wonderful prayers now.
Thank you.